Well, good morning. It is a privilege to be together in the house of the Lord. Alex, thank you for sharing this morning. I'm touched deeply. Your recognition of the needs, your willingness to serve. I felt like I don't really need to preach this morning at all. Praise God for what He's doing through you and in your heart. I've got a request. Jay, do you mind reading song of you 465 in the Christian hymnal at the end? It's Trust and Obey. I'd like to just sing the first verse at the end of the service. Would that be, is that all right with you, Jay? Okay, thanks. I've decided this morning, I've titled the message, Be Right There. I don't know how many of you as parents have heard that response. I'll be right there. Or maybe as a spouse. You call, hey, it's supper time, and your spouse says, I'll be right there. Does that mean they'll be right there? It's usually not. Like, it usually means they'll be right there after something, right? As a parent, we're never okay with delayed obedience. Delayed obedience is just disobedience, right? And I'd like to take a look at Luke chapter 9 this morning, just the last few verses of that chapter. Luke 9, verses 57 through 62. And I'll be reading that in the ESV. And I know you just stood to pray, but would you mind standing again for the reading of God's Word? So if you'd stand with me, and you're welcome to follow along in your Bible, but we're reading Luke chapter 9, verses 57 through 62. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, Foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. To another he said, Follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, Leave the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Yet another said, I'll follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home. Jesus said to him, No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. Thank you. You may be seated. My question that I've been wrestling through this morning, I'll be honest, I want to give credit where it's due. I've been working through some material from Paul Smith, a pastor friend of mine, that it's really challenged me on some of these points. But so many times I'll say yes, but first. What is the but first behind my yes, behind your yes? There in verse 61, he says, I'll follow you, Lord, but first. I think that one of the most deceptive forms of disobedience is agreement with delay. It sounds like faith because it uses spiritual language. How many times have you heard somebody say, I'll pray about that? Or, I just need some clarity. Or, it's just not the right season. Often what we call discernment is simply fear or disobedience buying time. I used to complain. We work with young people in Southeast Asia a lot, and I love young people, but it seemed like the longer we could study something, well, the longer we could delay actually having to do something about it. I just don't know exactly what I ought to do. It allowed us to just not do anything. And I'm guilty. I'm as guilty as anyone. I'd like... I'd like to take a look at that issue of delay today. The men that Jesus talked to here in Luke chapter 9, they weren't hostile. They're actually not mocking Jesus. They're willing to follow, but with conditions. Their yes had kind of that hidden clause of but first. And the thing I find so fascinating about these verses, Jesus refuses to let that become normal. He refuses to let that be okay, because he knows that, like, there's an unhealthy spiritual formation happening when we can delay. Every delayed step trains my heart to hesitate again. It's part of what it means to follow Jesus, not just to believe that it's right, but to actually believe it. It's surrendering my timeline. I think that we all want to, at least I want to reserve the right to set my own timeline. And when Jesus calls, the question isn't to be like, do I agree? It's will I obey? Where do I say yes to Jesus, like in theory, but in practice, try to keep control? Like, what is it? I'm just asking you to think through for yourselves. For me, what is it that I'm trying to protect? Am I trying to protect my image? If I'm called to do something, am I trying to protect my own comfort? Maybe the approval of others or my own security? What is it that I'm trying to hang on to? If my delays to obedience were translated honestly, what am I really in fear of losing? Sometimes my disobedience is disguised as honor. You know, here in verse 59, the man says, but let me first go and bury my father. I love my dad. I am blessed to have my dad still with me. It is a privilege to see my dad as often as I do. And I want to take care of him. I get to work with him. I get to see him on more than just work occasions. But let me first go and bury my father. It seems honorable, doesn't it? It sounds mature. It sounds kind of responsible. It almost sounds like wisdom. And I think that's why Jesus confronts it. He recognizes that underneath this man's request, like this is a culture where there wasn't the same preparation, coolers, a morgue that would hold the body for a week, and then you have a funeral when everyone can arrive. No, if somebody passed away in Palestine in the first century, they were buried right away. So the fact that this man is on the road having a conversation with Jesus would mean that the dad isn't dead yet. Right? It would mean that there's not a funeral going on this afternoon. Let me finish the funeral and I'll be right with you. No, it probably means something more like, let me wait until my father passes away and we settle the inheritance. I get what's mine. I can settle my accounts. Life is all set. And then I'll come and show up with whatever you've got for me. And I just think that Jesus is taking a solid look at what's really going on here. I think what the man was saying is, someday I'll follow, but first I need to secure the matters that affect me. It's not only an issue of family responsibility here, but maybe of misplaced priority he wasn't refusing to follow Jesus. Well, he was. He said, how about I arrange things more on my own terms? For me, it's what fear does. It convinces me that my safety and my own agenda is wiser than surrender. It's wiser than surrender to the King of Kings. And yet, somehow I often call it maturity. I feel like this is what I've got to do to take care of what I'm responsible for. Brothers and sisters, I find that fear doesn't mature my faith. It manages it. And Jesus loves me too much to let my fear lead me into a life of disobedience. He loves you too much to let your fear cripple you. And so He calls us to something more. I guess I'm asking us, what do I label as wisdom or discernment that might actually be self-protection? What am I afraid will happen if I obey Jesus without guarantees of my own safety? And I think that the reason it's so important, that I feel so burdened with this one for Chad, is because I find the opportunity has an expiration date. In verse 60, Jesus said to him, actually, leave the dead to bury their own dead. And he's not, it sounds pretty sarcastic. And I think that what we're actually finding here is leave those who are in tune with this world's kingdom to take care of this world's kingdom. If you're interested in money, let those who care about money take care of their money. If you're worried about fame, let those who are worried about fame take care of the fame. Those who are dead to spiritual things, let them take care of those who are dead to spiritual things. But you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Let those who are disconnected from God take care of those who are disconnected from God. And you who are connected to God, please go now and proclaim the kingdom. I think Jesus' words feel pretty intense. But I think it's because the moment is real. The time is now. Today is the day of surrender, obedience. The calling that He's put on you or on me, it's not for tomorrow. It's not for next weekend. It's now, actually. It's now. He's not harsh. He's urgent. I think that Jesus just knows something that we so often forget, and that's that the invitation it's not always open-ended. Oh, His invitation to know Him is open-ended. But His invitation to be obedient to what He's calling me to today, it may be today. And if I choose not to accept it or not to do it, I had a roommate one time. I used to love Harlan Barnhart. He was the most quotable person I knew. He would say, I just don't flatter myself to think that I'm big enough to derail God's plans for the world. I'm not big enough. God's going to do what God's going to do, but I do have the opportunity to join Him or not. And the blessing is mine to be partaken of, to be a part of. You can't follow Jesus eventually the way you can follow Him now. Because eventually actually keeps you in control. It keeps you safe. It keeps you comfortable. But now requires surrender. Now requires commitment that goes deeper than, oh, maybe. Delay isn't actually neutral. I think that so many times we say, I'll think about it, I'll pray about it, I'll do it sometime, but let me pause for a minute. But that is not a neutral position. Delay forms something in you, guys. Me. It teaches me that the Spirit's promptings are optional. And they're not. What begins as a not yet becomes a never. I think the tragedy here in Luke 9 is not that the men were evil. It's that they were almost obedient. And almost obedient is still disobedient. I guess my question is, what invitation from Jesus today are you treating like it's going to be available later? What am I doing that normalizes delay so much that conviction feels optional? What may I lose spiritually as I wait for the perfect time? Life is real. Life is full of distractions. Life has a lot of things that matter. And I'll be the first to say, I get it. I see you. And I understand that we all have a lot of responsibilities. We do. You didn't get here to this point in life by not being responsible people. I'm really grateful to come to church with people that I love and that are doing hard things. I know, but sometimes those responsibilities can be distractions too. In verse 62, Jesus responds to the man. He said, let me go home and say goodbye. He says, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. I think that Jesus at that point used an image that everyone understood. Plowing was often done with, you know, an animal pulling a plow, and you were responsible to look ahead and fix your vision on something that was going to hold still at the other end of the field so that you could make a straight furrow. A tree, a rock, probably not a cow. But I understand that auto steer has changed that for many of us. It has. Anybody farming more than 300 acres is probably using some technology to keep their rows straight. So it's a little different, but checking what you left behind pulls you off course. It just does. Looking back doesn't just slow you down, it changes your direction. The deeper issue with a but first comment is that it keeps you anchored in the old life, the old comforts, the old identities, the old securities, while you try to move forward with Jesus. And divided hearts cannot maintain decisive obedience. Looking back ruins your ability to chase what God has for you. I think it's why Jesus is so direct in this statement. He knows that half-hearted surrender eventually produces wholehearted drift. If we don't commit fully to what He calls us to, we open the door to fully drifting away. It's not because Jesus is unkind. The reality is, you just can't grow into the life Jesus calls you while clinging to what He's asking you to release. I'll just say that slowly. You cannot grow into the life that Jesus calls you while clinging to what He's asking you to release. So I guess I'm asking, what am I looking back at for security, for approval? What are you needing to say goodbye to? What goodbye are you using to delay full surrender to the Lord? Where do I want Jesus' benefits in my life while I'm still resisting His full leadership? Jesus ends this statement by saying, no one who looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. Is fit for the kingdom of God. I want to encourage us today to say yes first. Jesus isn't looking for perfect people. I mean, I hope not, because He's probably going to come up short at my house. He's not looking for perfect people, but He is looking for willing people, right? It's not emotional. But it is directional. It's the choice to say yes before fear grows and quiets your decision until your conditions are met. A lot of us want Jesus to call us without costing us anything. I think that we want transformation without surrender. I know I've said this often, but I used to celebrate people's pain. Now, that sounds terrible, sadistic, right? But I notice that we don't grow until, or I don't grow until I realize that what I'm doing isn't working. And usually that moment where I realize that what I'm doing isn't working is kind of painful. So we would send short-term teams off from our house in Malaysia to go attempt something big. And I would tell them I'm praying for their pain. And they would say, "You're mean, Chad." I said, "No, I'm not mean. But I'm excited about where God calls you to surrender. Where God pulls you toward letting something go. And that usually involves pain." I think that we want growth without disruption. The kingdom of God doesn't form in people through intention. It forms through acts of decisive obedience. All day long, I can say, I want to be more healthy or healthier. I want to spend more time exercising. I'd like to be a better dad. Intention is good, but unless it produces action, it does nothing, right? I want to be careful. I really do want to be careful. This isn't a sermon about earning God's love. I want to be really clear. This is about responding to God's love. Jesus loves you exactly as you are. He does, but He refuses to leave you in a state of hesitation. He confronts not to shame me or to shame you, but to free you from the fear that shrinks your life and delays that derail your spiritual formation. Jesus is here to invite you into something. So I guess the question for me isn't, do I feel ready? It's, will I obey? Not a someday, but a today. Where have I been? Just pause and reflect a bit. Where have we been negotiating with Jesus instead of surrendering to Him? What What is my hesitation costing my soul? What is your hesitation costing your relationships, costing your future self? If you truly trusted Jesus' heart, would you stop postponing? What is it that God is asking you to do? I think the bottom line is that excuses often sound faithful, but they are often just disobedience disguised as wisdom. It sounds mature. It sounds right. It sounds kind of good to say, well, I just need more clarity. I'm asking you to not rename fear as wisdom or delay as discernment. This is my ask for today. That when Jesus calls you forward, that you say yes first. I'm asking us as a family to choose surrender over hesitation and obedience instead of but first. What are we doing? What are we doing with what God's called us to do? Are we obeying even when it's not convenient? This morning, we have the pastor stand at the back of the church to greet you on our way out. So we'll be doing that. It feels a little awkward for me. I'm sorry. I'm still relatively new at this role. Jenny and I will be back there at the door to see you out. I am in the middle of this myself. I am not sharing this message to shame anyone. I'm sharing this because it's been working on me this week. What excuses do I give that sound great, but underneath are just protecting myself? Would you mind standing for a closing prayer? And then Jay, we would take that song. Let's bow in prayer. Father, thank you for this morning. Jesus, I pray that you would forgive us for agreeing with you and yet delaying you. I ask you to expose the but first in me. Lord, we don't want fear or disobedience to make decisions in spiritual language. Teach us to say yes first and to trust you with whatever comes. Lord, please expose where we've renamed fear as discernment. We don't want to be managed by safety or comfort. Lord, we want to be led by surrender. Father, I pray that you would give us faith to obey you without needing to control the outcome. Wake up in us this urgency of obedience. Lord, we as a church don't want drift to be our normal. Just one delay at a time. Lord, give us the courage to respond while your invitation is in front of us. You said that you don't want a divided heart. Lord, we want to follow you. Looking only forward, not glancing back. Lord, help us to release what we keep clinging to and to fix our eyes on you. Allow us to be steady and whole. Lord, I pray for us as Calvary Chapel that you would give us the courage to say yes first today. Thank you for your presence here. Lord, I pray for those who are sick and who are not able to be with us today. Father, I pray especially for Joanna and Ernie at the hospital today. Bless them and heal. Thank you for your presence. In Jesus' name, amen.